Blog Talk Radio.
My guest today is the founder and president of the Atlanta Center of Dermatology and Methi Spa. In 1983, she was the first African-American female dermatologist in private practice in Atlanta. She is a fellow of the American Academy of Dermatologists and is affectionately known as Atlanta's Dermatologist to the Stars. It is my extreme pleasure to welcome the legendary Dr. Gloria Campbell DeHue to the show. Hello, Dr. DeHue. How are you feeling today?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, let's get right to it. What is the number one thing a person can do to keep their skin looking beautiful?
Well, I recommend a number of things. I try to educate my patients about the importance of keeping the inside of your body healthy so that the outside will have a natural glow. And that includes drinking at least 6 to 8 glasses of water a day, watching your diet, exercising. Not only does sweat push impurities out through the sweat gland, but it also helps to keep your pores open. And it helps to relax you, the exercise does. And then finally, I educate them on how to take care of their skin using a mild cleanser, a toner, and a moisturizer. And that includes a moisturizer containing an SPF 15.
What is a good skincare regimen for combination skin?
Well, according to the patient's complexion and previous history of how they cleanse their skin, I normally recommend a mild cleanser. And a cleanser doesn't necessarily have to be a makeup line. It can be actually a mild soap over the counter because some patients have combination problems. They may have eczema, which would require them to use a hypoallergenic product. But in any case, I do recommend cleansing your skin with your hands, not with a washcloth, not with a scrub, in particular in African-American skin, because we're so sensitive and we scar very easily. After the cleansing, rinse and pat dry with your hands, and then apply a mild toner. Now, again, the toner sometimes may be along the same cleansing line as the cleanser, or it may be a separate toner, such as that from a cosmetic line, or even something as simple as witch hazel. Finally, a moisturizer should be applied. If you have acne, you should use one that's non-comedogenic, which means it will not aggravate your acne. But we all need a sun protection factor, which is what SPF stands for, to protect our skin from the sun and helps with treating discoloration. It also helps prevent wrinkles and skin cancer.
Well, let's talk a little bit about acne. Okay. At what age does acne start, and do certain foods cause acne?
Acne, in most instances, occurs when, in particular, a female child, when they start their menstrual cycle or their menses. We call that menarche. We do know the hormones are the major instigator of acne during adolescence, even though menarche is the beginning of acne in females. Teenage males get acne too, and actually to a much more severe degree than in the female. There are other times in life you can get acne. For example, you don't have to be a teenager. Some women in particular may go through adolescence and never develop acne until they get into their second and third decades of life, meaning 20 to 30 year old. And lastly, there is a small group of women who get acne in menopause. But in any case, the foods will not cause acne, but they aggravate acne. So to recap, most acne is caused, number one, by hormones. Number two, heredity. If your parents had acne, there's a good chance you'll have acne. And the majority of people get acne in adolescence, but a smaller group may get it in their second and third decades of life.
Well, Dr. DeHue, what is microdermabrasion?
Microdermabrasion is an office procedure that requires little downtime, but the actual machinery that's used for the skin, we use microdermabrasion to resurface the skin if you want to glow to your skin, if you'd like to take off that dead cell layer that had created during the winter and you want to go without makeup, or if you're being treated for acne and you finished your treatment regimen and, again, you want your skin resurfaced, microdermabrasion is a very good choice. The machinery is one that uses suction. There's an attack on the skin with a pressure gradient onto the skin to lift the dead cells off using crystals, and these crystals sort of serve like a mild emery board, if I may say, and it smooths the skin and sucks the dead cells right back into the machinery. Now, there are some microdermabrasion pieces of equipment now that do not have the crystals. They are not quite as powerful as the ones that do have the crystals, but it is a great adjunct for resurfacing your skin, making it smoother. I tell my patients to expect your skin to feel like a baby's bottom as soon as you finish having the treatment.
Well, can lasers be used on African-American skin?
Yes, it can. Yes, they can, actually. When lasers were first developed, they were developed predominantly for non-African Americans, and the wavelengths were very short, which meant the burn spectrum was very great in African American skin. The newer lasers, in particular what we call long wavelength or neodymium YAG lasers, are better suited for African-American skin. What happens with this laser, and as you know, lasers is a light beam, and this light beam travels from the epidermis to below the epidermis into the dermis, which is where you have your major area of effectiveness. These lasers are used predominantly for, let's say, hair removal. So if your hair bulbs are down in the fat cells or in the fat cell layer, then you certainly want your best attack of the laser to be where the hair follicle is and not on the epidermis. Therefore, lasers can be used now on African Americans, and they are very well suited for facial hair, like on the upper lip or in the chin. We can use it to remove hair underneath the arms, axillary hair. And for those ladies who go into the beach, we can do a bikini, treat the bikini area with the laser with little or no scarring and no downtime.
Okay. Well, what other procedures are available to slow the aging process?
Many years ago, when Retin-A first came on the market for treatment of acne, it's a topical medication. A lot of people are probably familiar with that. It started to revolutionize what we were doing for the aging process. They found, as patients who were using Retin-A for their acne, their skin stayed smoother, softer, and over a few years, the company decided there must have been some ingredients in Retin-A that was anti-aging, so they developed a product called Renova. Well, from that, many different types of topical medications have been used to decrease the wrinkling process, and that includes different gel, that includes doing chemical peels. Actually, microdermabrasion can be used as an anti-aging property. Whether it's a topical product or a procedure that is used, is to increase the collagen fibers underneath your skin. That's what makes your skin look nice and plump. And you want to increase the elastic fibers that makes your skin look resilient and not wrinkled. Wrinkling is what we equate with aging. And then lastly, the discoloration that appears as you age. So you can go according to the patient whether or not they can just use something like Retin-A or Renova, or you can do some chemical peels, or you can do microdermabrasion. And, of course, the newest kid on the block is using laser for resurfacing, and that helps to retard the aging process as well.
Dr. DeHue, how common is skin cancer in African Americans?
It's not as common as it is in Caucasians or non-African Americans, as you would imagine, but it does occur. I would say anywhere from 1 to 5%. There are three major categories of skin cancer, and that's basal cell carcinoma, squamous cell carcinoma, and malignant melanoma. Malignant melanoma is the one that we see most commonly in African Americans, and it's so easily missed because it may appear around the fingernail or under the fingernail and just looks like a bruise, or it may be in the palms of the hands or the soles of their feet and looks like a quote-unquote mole. In those instances, when you have a mole on the palms or soles or that nail lesion is not growing out, it certainly should be examined by a dermatologist and perhaps have a biopsy done, because that's the most devastating type of skin cancer, is malignant melanoma. And if it's not treated very early, the death rate is very high.
Well, let's talk about something that's been in the news for the last few years a lot. Botox. Is Botox safe, and who are the ideal candidates?
Anybody who wants to get rid of the vertical lines in your forehead, Botox is an excellent adjunct to. Botox is a neurotoxin. It is a product that's injected into the very small muscles in your forehead. One of the reasons why you have the wrinkles up there is because you squint or you frown so much that you hypertrophy those muscles. And what Botox does, being a neurotoxin, it relaxes those muscles so that you can't make those faces. Therefore, it looks nice and smooth. They're really in the hands of a skilled dermatologist or plastic surgeon or someone who does them on a regular basis. Botox is an excellent drug. The only drawback to Botox is that it only lasts for 4 to 6 months, but it can be used for the lines across your forehead. It can be used for the lines around the lateral sides of your eye, those ladies who get the quote-unquote crow's feet. And actually, it can be used almost in any age group, except I tend not to treat teenagers with Botox.
Okay. Well, how can you protect yourself from staph infections?
With so much of our population being immunocompromised now, staphylococcus has been on our skin and continues to be on our skin as a natural resident. There are several bacteria and yeast that live on your skin. But now there is a particular type of staphylococcus called methicillin-resistant staphylococcus, or MRSA, which you've seen in the news, is a very devastating infection. It actually can enter the skin and get inside of the body and be life-threatening in some instances, particularly those patients who are immunocompromised, such as having AIDS or HIV, or even if they've had, like, transplants and you have to suppress the immune system. In any case, the best protection, the very best protection, is to wash your hands and keep your environment as clean as possible. For example, if you go into the gym, make sure you maybe carry your own little Clorox wipes if your gym doesn't provide it. Wipe that equipment before and after you use it. Any time you go to the restroom, make sure you wash your hands, and that goes for your children too, because the bacteria is spread by body-to-body contact and sometimes by inanimate objects such as that equipment or doorknobs or even telephones that may be handled by other people. So, again, wash your environment and wash your hands.
Are there any vitamins that can control oily skin at all?
Yes. The drug that most people know about is Accutane. Accutane has been around, I know, 50 years or more now. Accutane was developed from vitamin A. When we did not have the advent of as many drugs on the market as we do now, vitamins were used quite a bit, and high-dose vitamin A had been recommended for many years for acne. In fact, we were using doses up to 50,000 units at one point in a prescription form. So the pharmaceutical companies decided to find out what was the active ingredient in the vitamin A that was most helpful for the acne, and that's how Accutane was developed. But for people who don't need Accutane because they don't have the cystic acne, vitamin A is very helpful because it helps to increase the cell turnover rate, which is what you want. You want your skin to be resurfaced every 28 to 30 so days with new cells, and so the vitamin A allows that to happen. And then I recommend adding vitamin E because it potentiates the effects of vitamin A. And I'm talking about oral doses, not topical doses, because if you apply vitamin E to your skin, you can apply too much and clog the pores, and it is not helpful. Lastly, it is important that you keep your body as healthy as possible, so there are other vitamins that are necessary. But if you are going to target acne, vitamin A and vitamin E are your most beneficial vitamins.
Well, let's talk about something that's been used at a very alarming rate right now, and that's injectables for lines and wrinkles. Mm. Do they cause any harm?
No, they do not. The injectables era started with a product called collagen. And collagen is a protein that's made from cow skin. And it was injected such as around the nose or around the mouth if you wanted to lift those depressed lines to make your skin look more youthful again. The only drawback to collagen is that you have to be tested to make sure you're not allergic to the cow skin product. So patients would have to wait 30 days or so to have the collagen injection. Since then, several other injectables are now on the market, one of which is Restylane. Restylane is made from hyaluronic acid, which is an ingredient already in your skin. And it's like having a midday facelift, if you may. You can go into your dermatologist's office, have your Restylane injection in 30 minutes, walk out and look 10 years younger. There are no side effects to using hyaluronic acid, whether it be Restylane or whether it be Radiance. Restylane may last up to a year. Radiance is one of our newer injectables. In some instances, will last up to 2 years. The only drawback is whether or not the product is injected properly. And you should certainly see a dermatologist or a physician who is accustomed to using the injectable to get the best results.
All right. Well, what are the benefits of chemical peels?
Chemical peels I use predominantly for an adjunct for my acne treatment. In most instances for African-American patients, our most prominent problem is the discoloration or dark pigmentation that occurs as the acne lesions go away or as we help them to go away by squeezing them. And what I find with the chemical peels, it does three things for me. It is a product that's applied to the skin, and it starts a peeling process and takes off the dead cell layer, so the medication that I prescribe penetrates the skin better. The second thing it does, it helps to lighten up the dark spots on a nice gradual basis. And then third thing it does, it helps dry up some of the oils. And I've had some patients to say that within a week of having a chemical peel, some of their acne starts to go away without them actually applying the medication that I had prescribed. Now, there are different types of chemical peels. There are glycolic acid peels. There are what are called TCA peels or trichloroacetic acid peels, and there are what is called phenol peels or the phenol slush. Those are the most common three categories. The glycolic is used predominantly for someone's skin who has no problems and they just want a little resurfacing and no downtime. The TCA is more for medication use, and the phenol peel, or for patients who are really trying to get rid of those dark patches on their skin, such as melasma. We have to reserve the use of that for much lighter complexion patients than our level 4 or below. The skin types or skin colorations are divided into 7 levels, and we have a level 1 all the way down to a level 7, is someone who's very, very dark complexion. We most of the time don't use phenol peels in someone who's a level 4 or below.
Okay. Well, do varicose veins have to be stripped?
No, they do not. According to the size of the vein and how much discomfort there is, in most instances you can do what is called sclerotherapy. Sclerotherapy is when you inject hypertonic saline, or another type of injection is another one called Polideco, into the vein, and you allow the vein itself to start to collapse. It's like causing a scarring reaction on the inside of the vein, and so that the body continues to scar down the wall of the vein and make it smaller and smaller. Of course, the larger the vein, the more often the treatment has to be applied in order to get the results that you want. I usually have patients to do their sclerotherapy in the fall, because after they do the treatment, they have to wear support hose for at least 30 days or more after the treatment. And they can be very hot during the summertime. There are still veins that are the larger veins, the big ropey ones or the ones that have blood clots in them. Those do have to be stripped. But most of us, for the little blues and the reds, you can do sclerotherapy and have very good results in about 6 months.
Are there any other options for alleviating varicose veins?
Well, weight loss, exercise, any exercise that you use, continue to use your legs so that the surrounding muscles will put compression on the veins themselves.
Can facial moles be removed?
The most common procedure I perform in my office is electrodesiccation and curettage, which is the removal of moles. Moles in the African American population is usually seborrheic keratosis, or what we call DPNs. And yes, they can be removed. There was an old adage when I was growing up that if you remove the mole, you were going to bleed to death. And that is no longer true. But how that arrived was that there are some type of moles that like protrude from the skin that have a tiny blood vessel right in the center. And so if you just cut it off, it bleeds quite a bit. Well, with electrodesiccation and curettage, what we do is we close that blood vessel with an electrical current. By sealing it, that mole does not come back again. In the hands of a skilled surgeon, moles can be removed almost flawlessly so that you don't even see where they were before. But they should be examined by a dermatologist first, because even though you may have seborrheic keratosis or DPNs, you should always be checked for skin cancer because it can be hiding within those moles.
When should someone contact a dermatologist about facial moles?
I tell my patients, on your birthday, examine your birthday suit. And if you get in front of a full-length mirror on your birthday and examine your suit and you see any changes in any of the moles that you've seen in the previous years, certainly you should have a dermatologist to take a look at it and perhaps do a biopsy if there's any changes. But the things you look for are changes in shape, whether it's larger than the size of an eraser, changes in color, whether it's gone from brown to being black, whether or not it's gotten a little bump in the center now, a little papular reaction, whether or not it bleeds very easily. And, of course, the palms and the soles, I highly recommend checking those on an annual basis. If you were just a patient going and see a dermatologist for any other reason, I'd still recommend that you have the dermatologist to look at any moles that you have. I would much rather look at your moles and say that they are benign than you to think they are benign and miss a skin cancer that can be treated.
Well, all right. Well, Dr. Gloria Campbell DeHue, how can you be reached?
I can be reached at 404-349-7440. That's my office number. We do take appointments only. My office is located at 2950 Stone Hogan Connector in Atlanta at 30331. And if you'd like to visit our website, is www.ATLDERMMEDISPA.com.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Hugh, for taking the time out of your extremely busy schedule to be with us today.
And thank you. I'm honored to be on your show.
And thank you, our listening audience, for tuning in to People You Need to Know on radio. Until next time, always remember that you can add a spark to whatever you do. And for more information about our guest, log on to sparkplugpeople.com.